If you will, follow in your Bibles to the book of Mark, following along a little further in the chapter from last week. We're going to be Mark chapter 12 and beginning at verse 41 through the end of the chapter. Mark chapter 12, beginning at verse 41 to the end of the chapter. Hear the reading of God's Holy Word. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." The word of God for the people of God. Amen. Now, a couple of things that are important to us in this story concerning the widow's mite. I still call it the widow's mite, and M-I-T-E, I guess is how it would be, you would spell that. It's not much at all. And we don't even have her name. And oftentimes in these stories, the details will even give a name of someone. And that's to kind of tell us tell us about how people were treated in that day, discarded widows and orphans. And so we don't even hear her name, but I believe that one day when we enter into heaven, we're going to know this lady's name. And we're going to put a face to this widow and what she gave and applaud her faithfulness unto God. The widow's mite. A Sunday school teacher was teaching a class to a number of young children. And she, in teaching to the class, talked about a missionary in some foreign land and wanting to help this missionary and all the good that they were doing in preaching and teaching the gospel and helping the poor and the needy. And so she asked the class of this young group, said, "Would you like to give $1 million to help this missionary?" And they all were like, "Yes, that'd be wonderful. Let's help this missionary and do that. We'd love to give $1 million. Well, how about $10,000? And they were all like, "Yes, yes, we'd love to help this missionary and do all this good." Well, what about $100? And they were all the same thing and excited. And finally she asked, "How about we give $1? And everybody in the class was like, "Yeah, great, great." And of course, this isn't one of those real stories. This is one of those little Johnny stories, okay? And little Johnny didn't respond, and the teacher noticed that little Johnny hadn't responded. And so the teacher asked little Johnny, "You were all excited about helping out with $1 million and the 10,000 and 1,000 and 100, but now you're thinking, you're not excited about giving $1. And so you might think, "Well, because it's not that much." But instead he says, "Well, it's because I got $1. Come on, think about it, folks. He had $1 to give. Therefore, it meant something different to him. You know, he'd have to really give that dollar then in support of the missionary. I want you to know that our giving to God's church is important, is vital even, because it speaks of our faith to action. Think about, think about in Jesus' day. Think about in Jesus' day, they didn't have Social Security. They didn't go, hey, I'm going to receive a month's check, and I'll have it to buy my groceries and pay my light bill with. And all. Of course, they didn't have a light bill. They didn't have a cell phone bill. They didn't have a lot of other things, but they still had to have food, and they had to have shelter, didn't they? So they needed something to live on, and this widow gave all that she had. This two mites that might have been able to buy a meal or two or provide enough for just a little bit and a little time, and then it would be no more. It wasn't any Social Security. In fact, the widows and those who were discarded or detached from family to help, they didn't make it long. Children were sometimes discarded if they didn't have an arm or they were disfigured. They were thrown into on the side of the road to just perish and die. The church grew in a large response because it did something different. It took care of the widow and it took care of the orphan. People would take these children that were discarded on the side of the road and they would take them into their home and display what God has instructed us to do through Scripture, to take care of the widow and to take care of the orphan, to love in essence. This was different to the world. Maybe in some degree we say the world hasn't changed. But we are, as Christians, to take care of the widow and the orphan. And this is important to this story because this is a discarded, a detached widow who is leaning now in faithfulness to the temple to help her in her greatest time of need. Now, there's some who would say that this was a condemnation on the way that the temple priest and the Pharisees and the priest of the temple were abusing and taking advantage of widows. Woe to those who devour widows' homes, according to Scripture. So to some degree, this could be taking place, but it's not the emphasis of this story. Think about the church. Think about how the church has been a blessing to the world. Most universities began as seminaries. Yale, Harvard, began as seminaries, folks. The teaching of the gospel, to making preachers go out and preach the gospel. And we can see how many of these universities have turned upside down and no longer support that beginning premise. Think of the hospitals. Many of them began because of the church. Think about Samaritan's Purse and the shoebox distribution. It didn't begin because somebody who just decided, hey, let's do something good here. Now, I know people do that to some degree, but it's because of the church, the emphasis of people being sent into North Carolina, into Augusta, and to South Georgia and different places is because of Christian witness and love. This is what makes the church blossom and grow. A church that does not do any of these things, if we're not engaged in mission, then we are not doing what God expects of us. And let me tell you why. Because when the widow gave her two mites, and she gave her all, well, let's think. Where else in Scripture was someone else asked to give their all? The rich young ruler, who was very wealthy, who considered himself blessed by God because of his wealth and because of his robes that represented that there was no sin present in his life. And to take that wealth and to give it away, he considered it as giving away his being blessed by God. But this woman gave all and considered it totally different, as her giving was a mark of her faithfulness. Now, I don't think God is saying to you today, give your all, every bit, today. No. I think the Scriptures is clear to us to tithe. I think the Scriptures are to give gifts and offerings unto the Lord, to be a blessing to the world. But she gave her two mites because of her faithfulness. The rich young ruler couldn't even give two mites. He instead went away sad because of his unfaithfulness. Which one had greater faith? Well, by far, this widow did, as she gave it away. This was an exercise of her faith and trust in God. You see, what she was doing, regardless of how the temple responded to the orphans and the widows in the area, she gave because she was trusting God. She was trusting the temple to take care of her, to do what God has promised for the temple to do and what God has promised for the church to do, to take care of the orphan and the widow. So folks, being a part of mission is directly integral to us being Christian. If we separate ourselves from that, then we separate ourselves from doing the will of God and what He has asked us to do. Our giving is important because it speaks of our action to faith. And just as I've already mentioned, all the good that the church does around the world and in our communities, and the untold ways that you personally do. It might not go in the offering plate all the time. I mean, yes, it does, but then there's other times where it never reaches this place, but it reaches helping others. And no one knows about it but you and God. Let me say this, too. I'm not here pointing fingers at you today. I'm here saying, as we see this and study this scripture and preach on it, that we come to God as between us and God. And God who sees. And God is wanting to see a faithful response unto Him. We see all the good that's going on in the world through the church, that if the church quit doing what it was doing, if all the churches in the world quit doing the command of God, what would happen? And sometimes we may think, well, what if we were the only church? Or we might think, what if I was the only one who was giving in this kind of way? And we would think, well, it really doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make a dent. the old story of a man that's walking down with another man, just walking along the beach, and they see starfish in the multitudes dying on the shore. And the one man picks up a starfish and he begins throwing them back into the water, one after the other, after the other. The other man says, "This is ridiculous. What do you mean? Throwing that starfish, you'll never get them all." He said, "Right." He picks another one up and says, "But it matters to this one." And he throws it. It matters to this one who will receive this box. And then to think you are not alone. You and millions and hundreds of thousands of churches are giving in great ways in the mission field to missionaries around the world, to needs in our own community, to Gideon's Bibles that go to universities and hospitals and places where the Bible is spat on. All of these things God has instituted of us that the action of our giving just translates to so many other together, making a difference in this world. So it doesn't matter how much you give. That's this whole story. Two mites didn't do a whole lot, but it spoke to faithfulness. And with all that together, it speaks as to what the church can do with every individual. And who it matters to makes a difference. How we give is important. If Al Capone walked into this sanctuary, and of course he's since long dead, he got his wealth because of what? Ill-gotten gains. Let's just put it that way. Murder, theft, destroying hundreds and thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of lives. And if he gave $1 million out of those ill-gotten gains, that would be a part of his offering. Do you see what I'm saying? His offering would be all of that destruction. That would be despicable in God's eyes. We give out of the productivity that God gives us. We give out of the benefit that God gives us. This woman gave her two mites. It wasn't by thievery. It wasn't by ill-gotten means. It wasn't by destructive forces or anything like that. It was a part of who she was, and she gave it all in trust and hope and faith in God. And so we give. We give in that same manner. You notice in Scripture here, I believe it says here, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Now, how would you feel if when the ushers collect the offering and they go, put in a little bit more? Yeah. I mean, That's quite not enough. I mean, and to see everything, you know, ushers are good at averting eyes and just letting things go. How would you feel if I did that? We don't compare to Jesus, though, do we? What I'm trying to get the point at, that's not my role. That's not the usher's role. That's not anybody's role. Everything's between you and God. What we give and how we are in mission and ministry to the world, that's between you and God. We're held accountable to who? But now, if Jesus were holding that plate, how would you feel? How would you respond? You see, that's what Jesus was doing. He was trying to demonstrate you're giving to Him. You're giving to His purposes. You're giving to His mission. And how we give is important and valuable. That we celebrate the goodness of God in how we give. That it speaks and invokes about who we are and whose we are as we give to God. We're giving to God as God has commanded of us. There's a gentleman who, this true story, I'm not going to tell it exactly how it took place, but a true story in which a man gave $1 million to a church, and the church received it, and the pastor saw that this $1 million came in, and so he was curious. This person's not a member of this church, doesn't attend this church, has never even come to our church, and he's given us $1 million. So the pastor was curious and went and asked. And he says, "Oh no, I've given $1 million to several, to a church, to a synagogue, to a Muslim group, to Hindu, and several different things." And he said, "Why? Why did you give it?" The pastor asked. I mean, the pastor didn't refuse it, but it was like, kind of curious as why you gave. And he said, "Well, one of these days I'm going to die. And, you know, if the Christian faith is true, then I want to be able to say to God, hey, I've given $1 million, I've done something. And maybe it will get me on in." Well, you and I know it does not work that way, does it? We can't do anything to earn our salvation. And there's no, in my opinion, if it is true. It is the Word of God. And because He has said it, it is so. That He will come again in glory and take all those who follow Him into His kingdom. We can't hedge our bets on that. We just are faithful unto the Lord. And we give, not for our salvation's sake, but we give like this widow in faithfulness to the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, bless your people here. We thank you for the many ways in which their generosity and giving unto you has blessed your church, has blessed the mission and ministry of your holy church. And Lord, I just pray your blessings upon each one. And Lord, the ways in which our giving impacts and changes the world and transforms lives, people, into following you and seeing the love of God given unto them. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.